You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's September 25th, 2025, and welcome to episode 151 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. My name is John Wall, and every Thursday morning, I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you for tuning into the program today. On this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Nintendo Switch 2 Edition, plus Star-Crossed World. Wow, that is way too long of a title. Anyway, we start the day off by checking out some of the headlines from this past week. And last week, we had a big Nintendo Direct to talk about on the show, one that I think delivered big time. And yesterday, it was Sony's turn at bat with a brand new PlayStation State of Play. And the pressure, I think, was pretty high, given that Sony's first-party lineup has been quite slim, I would say, over the last couple of years. So, did they deliver? It wasn't amazing. Let's just say that. There were some highlights, though. So, let's roll through some of the headlines. The creators of Returnal are back with a brand new game called Saros, which puts players on a shape-shifting planet, and it looks like it seems to have a lot to do with the planet's sun. That seems to influence gameplay in a lot of ways. We also got a look at the Battlefield 6 campaign, which arrives very soon on October 10th. And Xbox continues to bring its catalog to PlayStation, and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 is next on that list, arriving in December. Now, I just hope that they can get the game working on time, because as I've talked about recently, right now it is a total mess on Xbox. We also got another look at Neo 3, along with a release date. A Deus Ex remaster is coming. They showed some hardware like PlayStation branded speakers and a God of War controller. They made some announcements about PlayStation Plus games coming, and not a whole lot else up until the very end. And before that, one more thing reveal, I would have probably called this a pretty bad State of Play, but showing off Wolverine moved it from bad to just mediocre. So we got a decent look at Insomniac's next game. It arrives fall of 2026, and it looks pretty good, I think. It looks super violent, kind of shockingly violent. I mean, I know Wolverine is a violent character, but this was gruesome. The combat looks just brutal. So I'm a little bit torn on how violent it is, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The problem is, I just don't feel like the game has a lot of personality, at least what they showed yesterday. And this is the studio of Ratchet and Clank and Sunset Overdrive and Spider-Man, and this just didn't jump off the screen the way some of those other games did. I kind of wonder if they're focusing too much on, it kind of looked like a Naughty Dog presentation where it's like, yeah, hey, look here, we're sticking dots on people's faces and the motion capture and obsessing over tiny graphical details. And I don't know, that just isn't as exciting as it used to be, I think. Every game looks great now. I would much rather that they give us some really cool art design and style. So overall, I think this was a pretty disappointing showing. I'm glad that we saw Wolverine finally, but it really didn't fill me with hope that my PlayStation 5 would be getting any regular use anytime soon. So, one of Nintendo's big strategies around the launch of the Switch 2 has been to re-release popular Switch games with additional content and improved performance and call them Switch 2 editions. They did this with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, Mario Party Jamboree, and now they've done it with 2022's Kirby and the Forgotten Land. The Switch 2 edition features new levels and content titled Star-Crossed World. And since I had never gotten around to finishing the first game, or finishing it the first time around, I should say, I slapped down my $20 for the upgrade pack. And let me tell you, this here is one high-quality video game, I think. I don't have a ton of experience with the world of Kirby games, and there's been dozens of Kirby games, it feels like. I did play Rainbow Curse on the Wii U, I think it was, and I thought that one was pretty good. That one was a fun time. So I don't know very much about, like, the lore surrounding Kirby. I imagine that there are entire wikis devoted to breaking down the complex storylines and characters, but the story of this one is that some giant vortex appears in the sky above Dreamland, and it sucks Kirby and everything else into it, which is ironic because Kirby is used to being the one doing all the sucking and not necessarily getting sucked himself. And he ends up in some other universe that looks more like an overgrown dystopian Earth, you know, or like Florida. And he discovers that the Waddle Dees, which are these little orange marshmallows, they're getting kidnapped and locked up. So Kirby enlists the help of Elfalyn, who is like this mouse butterfly guy, like a mouser fly or something. Anyway, they go off to rescue all the Waddle Dees. And listen, if this is doing it for you, more power to you. I'm not that worried about the story here myself. I am here to suck up adorable creatures, steal their powers, and then use said powers to beat up more adorable creatures. And one of the cool things about this game is that you won't just be sucking up enemies. You will be sucking up... I've said suck a lot in this episode. you'll be sucking up all sorts of random items, which will grant you new powers. Things like a light bulb, which will let you see in dark levels. A vending machine, which lets you shoot soda cans out of your mouth. Or an entire car, like an entire Volkswagen that lets you do racing challenges. And they're all very ridiculous and silly looking and add some fun variety to the gameplay. And this game is a ton of fun. It's colorful and goofy, and it has just a very old school kind of platforming vibe to it. I don't know quite how else to explain it, but it's one of the few games that makes me feel how I remember feeling as a kid, you know, sitting on the floor playing all those classic platformers on the NES. It's fun, whimsical, and just not overly complex. It's the kind of game that just puts a smile on your face while you play, and that's pretty awesome. As far as the star-crossed content, which is new to this version, it tells the story of a meteor that crashes and spreads these little things called starries around the world that you have to collect. They've got 12 new worlds, which are kind of... They're like remixes of existing ones. You know, you start out in a level that looks familiar that you've done already, but it quickly swerves into new directions and they start to feel more like brand new levels. They also throw in some new, they call them mouthful abilities, that I think, you know, I think they make it a package worthy of that $20 upgrade cost if you've played the game before. Now, if you haven't, $80 is quite a steep price if you're picking this up brand new. Man, that something about that $80 tag just kind of hurts when you see it. And while, you know, while this is a high enough price that it's going to make you flinch, there is a lot to do in this package to get a lot of game for your money. You know, in addition to the main game and the star-crossed worlds, you've got bonus challenge levels. There are lots of hidden items throughout the levels, collectibles to find, or you can buy them in vending machines. An entire Waddle Dee village that you can upgrade in a bunch of different ways, which will unlock new upgrades for your powers and mini games. And there's a post game mode that makes it gives you a more difficult, challenging mode. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to do in this game. So it is a lot of money, but you get a lot of game. And like I said, it's just cute as hell. Before we go today, pardon me if I take a little bit of time to go on a bit of a detour to end the show. Not really the kind of thing that I normally talk about on this show, but as someone who knows several people personally with autism, and I know even more people with autistic children, I just wanted to take a couple seconds to say that you are all beautiful and brilliant and incredible people. You are not mistakes. You are not flawed. You are wonderful human beings. And no, you or your children did not get autism because of freaking acetaminophen. The people making these claims currently are con artists and frauds. And if you watched that recent press conference, you know that the reason that they're pointing the finger at Tylenol specifically is because they can't even say acetaminophen. You know, could you find a study that claims that it may cause autism? Of course you can. Studies can say all sorts of things, but the way the scientific method works, it means that one study really doesn't mean anything. You need dozens, if not hundreds, of studies before you can make any sort of concrete conclusion or hypothesis or claim. But they don't care about that. They just want to push their agenda with no regard for the people and families with autism. So just follow the science. If you're pregnant, consult your doctor, you know, before using Tylenol. That's what they tell you to do. But the risks of an untreated fever are very real and dangerous. So listen to your doctor, not these crooks on television. And don't ever let anyone tell you that you or your children cannot live fantastic and fulfilling lives. Pivot. next week kicks off 5 weeks of Halloween themed episodes of the show. I'm going to be playing a bunch of spooky games over the next couple of weeks and then wrap up the month with a special 2-part episode sharing my experience at the haunted Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. It should be a lot of fun, so make sure you tune in for all of that. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch new episodes of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. That would be awesome. So, until next time, have a great week, and happy birthday, Mark Hamill!